Chapter 17. Big Changes. In her suite in the Buckingham Palace Hotel, Princess Sayako's servants were helping her to try on all the beautiful clothes she had bought in Harrods. Sayako was very happy. She admired herself in the mirror.
"I look perfect," she thought.
The Queen had got up early and was busy cleaning. She wanted the house to look its best for the party. The guests started to arrive at 10:45 a.m. and soon the small living room was crowded with people. The Queen served tea and sandwiches, and they all waited for the television broadcast to begin. On the screen was the front of number 10 Downing Street, and at exactly 11 o'clock, Jack Barker came out of the black front door.
"He looks pale and tired," thought the Queen. "I'm sure he was awake all night."
Mr. Barker walked up to the microphones and held up his hand for quiet. Everybody in the Queen's living room stopped talking.
"My fellow Britons," Mr. Barker began, "last night I signed a document that will change all our lives for the better. As from today, Great Britain has entered into a treaty of friendship with Japan. This will bring us new security and prosperity. Once more, we shall be part of a great worldwide empire."
"Oh my goodness," murmured the Queen. "What has he done?"
"We now share the sovereignty of this country with the Emperor of Japan," said Jack.
The Queen couldn't be quiet.
"He sold us to the Japanese," she shouted.
"As a result of these changes," Jack continued, "the loan of 12,000 billion yen, which we had to repay on the 1st of June, has been extended indefinitely. We've now got the money to rebuild our great country. But, as well as a political and financial alliance between Britain and Japan, I'm very happy to announce that we are also creating a personal alliance between our great countries. In fact, it is happening at this very moment."
"What does he mean by that?" asked the Queen, worried.
"Will we all have to speak Japanese?"
asked Beverly Threadgold.
"I knew a man who went to a Japanese restaurant once," said Tony. "He said it was horrible there. All they had was raw fish."
"Don't worry, darling," said Beverly, smiling lovingly at Tony. "I don't care what Mr. Barker says. I'll still give you fried fish for supper."
The Queen had to leave the room. She thought that her head would explode. Was she the only one who realized that the old Britain no longer existed? It was now just another Japanese island. She went into the back garden. Harris hadn't returned. Yesterday's food was still in his bowl. The Queen threw it into the rubbish bin. Anne appeared at the doorway and said,
"Mum, come and see this. You won't believe it."
The television was now showing the front of Buckingham Palace, where a golden carriage pulled by four white horses was approaching. A big crowd of people had gathered outside the gates, and they cheered as the coach went by.
"Fools!"
shouted the Queen at the television.
"They would cheer at monkeys."
"But that's what we were, Mum," said Anne. "We were like performing monkeys at the zoo. I'm glad we've finished with all that."
The Queen noticed that Spiggy had put his arm around her daughter and was holding her very close. She wasn't sure what she felt about this new relationship, but right now she was more worried about the Japanese relationship with Britain. The television showed Japanese ships on the River Thames and a group of Japanese fighter planes flying overhead. Then suddenly the picture changed again to show the balcony of Buckingham Palace. Two small figures appeared. The camera zoomed in to show that one of them was Jack Barker, wearing a foreign military uniform that the Queen didn't recognize. The other figure was the Emperor Akihito in a colorful kimono. The Prime Minister and the Emperor waved to the crowd, who automatically cheered and waved back. Then two more figures appeared. One was smiling and wearing a long white dress with a white veil. The other, looking drugged, was wearing a naval uniform. They looked like a bride and groom.
are they?" shouted the Queen.
The camera zoomed in even more to show the Queen's son, Edward. He was unsmiling and had strange staring eyes. He was holding the hand of his bride, Princess Sayako, the Emperor's daughter. The Emperor smiled at his new son-in-law. Edward bowed to the Emperor and, like a robot, bent forward to kiss his new wife.
"Oh no! They've kidnapped Edward!" cried the Queen. "They're making him marry that little girl!"
The camera then moved to show the empty flagpole over Buckingham Palace.
"Oh, how sad! The British flag has gone," said the Queen.
And then a flag slowly moved up the flagpole and blew in the wind. It was the Japanese flag.
"The Japanese flag is flying over Buckingham Palace," said Anne. "It doesn't look like our home anymore."
Sayako was trying to lift something from the floor. When she stood up straight, the camera showed Princess Sayako holding Harris under her arm. She hoped this would make the British people accept her as their princess. She knew they were a nation of animal lovers.
"Harris, you little traitor!"
screamed the Queen. Harris barked at the princess aggressively. She tried to stroke him on the head, but Harris bit her finger. Her father, the Emperor Akihito, then hit the dog. The crowd protested. With that one aggressive action, the Emperor of Japan lost the support of the British public. Harris continued to bark, and the camera came closer. Soon Harris's head filled the television screen. Finally, all that could be seen were Harris's teeth and his little red tongue. The Queen and her visitors were horrified.